You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. It's Alex Dunn and Ross Brierley on the latest edition. Good afternoon, Ross Brierley.
Good afternoon, Alex Dunn. That's by process of elimination, we worked out who was who.
Yeah, are you all right?
I'm fine, thank you, my good man. Racing is going up a gear. So yes,
it is.
I'm good. It's a good weekend, isn't it?
It is. We're recording this at 2:15 on Friday, so we've already sampled a little bit of the action at Prestbury Park, but it is yet to warm up properly, I think it's fair to say.
Yes,
but it's just great to have Cheltenham back, isn't it? And good Cheltenham as well.
I just part of me wants Cheltenham on sort of every other week. Part of me doesn't, because it's such a special occasion when it is. But it's absolutely crack it. And there's no other track that I watch and have more over jumps. I have more of an affinity or a rhythm with. And I think that's because I put I wonder if I put that much interest and study and focus into other jumps tracks, I would enjoy it more. But there's something about Cheltenham that, I mean, the quality of racing, obviously, but just the rhythm of the races as well.
Yeah. No, agreed. And we're going to have a look at one of the races tomorrow. Well, two of them in a bit of detail. But obviously, as you know, on the Racing Podcast, we look for a nap and a next best. We're going to get to those shortly. I just wanted to talk, Ross, just for a second.
Is this an intervention?
No.
Oh, okay, good.
But you can use this as you like, as a gentle plug for what you're doing at the minute.
You're not doing sat talking to you.
No, not that. You're doing some comedy stuff.
That's true.
Is it about horse racing?
It is. I did the first one this week. A stand up comedy show about betting and gambling. Yeah, horse racing as well. Yeah, but yeah. just a lifetime of betting.
And how did the first one go?
It went really well.
Did it really?
It did. It went really well. Like, good. I really enjoyed it. I thoroughly enjoyed it. And I probably didn't really get into the thick of things betting-wise and making jokes about that until about halfway through, because I just wanted to warm up and I was unsure whether it was going to go down. Because we were just saying this off-air, looking at speed figures, there's that much impenetrable language and data when it comes to betting that to make jokes about something, you have to have a general understanding of it to understand that you are twisting the conventions. Most people don't have a general understanding of it, so then when you go, hey, what about that? They go, I don't understand what you're talking about.
For example, me and you could sit here and have a laugh, and that's fine, but to a wider audience of even people who have a mild interest in horse racing, if the punchline is something like, and she was £4 out of the handicap, and
yeah,
you kind of
exactly,
go,
yeah.
thanks, Ross, but I'll come back next week.
Yeah, well, I've got about as much chance as being drawn 16 at Beverly over 5 furlongs. Am I right,
guys?
Anyone?
You still there?
Actually, I might have a section on that in the show of just like, and here's a selection of jokes
you will not get. That would be brilliant.
That would be quite.
Except for one person. I hope that at every gig you promise them that they won't get it, and one guy just goes, ha.
That's right. So I have the only bit that kind of has that. It's not a joke, but I do a bit about how I used to play poker and then I stopped because I preferred sleep. The one tournament I won with I was so tired by the time I got to the end. It was like 3 o'clock in the morning, whatever it was, that I just didn't care, and I just thought, you know what, I've had it.
Yeah.
And perversely, I went in with a 2 and a 7 off suit in the like he'd gone all in, and I was like, I don't care now. And I went in with a 2 and a 7 off suit, and there's always one person in the audience who goes, oh, like, oh, and I go, ah,
poker
the
fan.
Poker player.
Yeah.
And it's usually someone, when I ask, does anyone play poker, they don't raise their hand, and then that, like, that wheedles them out.
So that's it's a tell.
It is. So they go, oh, and you go, see, because you can't, if you say to someone 2 and a 7 off suit and you're a poker player, oh. So
it's so niche. A lot of things are. Bad each way. Yeah, but what?
But the thing about so the thing about writing comedy, the thing about writing jokes is a lot of the time most people have written most jokes about most things.
Yeah,
it's very hard to write anything original, or to mine to have the knowledge to be able to mine a subject.
Yeah, and make it original.
And nobody has the knowledge of this world really, apart from me. So there's a whole world. There's a whole thing that no one's made jokes about.
Mm.
But then this thing. So I did it the other night. Anyway. And this was the list of questions my friend sent me that she wanted to know, like, of things that, like, piqued
what,
her interest.
She came to watch it, and that is feedback, if you
yeah,
like.
Yeah, so she said... There's,
for listeners, by the way, because this is a radio feature.
I'm going to give you some examples. There's okay, a lot
right,
of
fine.
Them.
Yes.
Said, for example, do you think you're a risk-taker? Is professional gambling generally a risk-taking profession? Where do you work? If it's from an office, why don't you do it from home or a coffee shop or by the beach? What's the worst tip you ever gave? Do you think your personality has been changed by being a gambler? All these things that someone who doesn't
yes,
understand anything
answer,
about
by
it.
The way.
Oh, totally, yeah. 100%.
Yeah.
I am now dead inside.
I found myself the other day pricing up things just in life.
Yeah.
So it was like, do you think he'll be on time? I'd say 3-1 he does.
Yeah, exactly.
4-1 he doesn't. You're like, hang on.
But we do that anyway in life, I think, now, more than ever. What news stories will be, bookmakers are saying Brexit is...
Yeah,
1-5 to not happen or whatever it is, but it hasn't been explored enough, I don't think. So,
no.
When's
your next stuff?
It's called Accumulator, the show. Mm-hmm. The next one is at the Leicester Comedy Festival in February.
There you go.
So, come to that if you fancy it.
Yeah, if you're in Leicester, or if you're not, you know.
I'll be doing it at the Edinburgh Fringe and various other places as well. So,
okay. Good stuff.
See you there.
Yeah.
See right. You there, betting fans.
Let's look at Saturday's racing. As we've mentioned, superb racing at Prestbury Park.
Yeah.
But the nap for you is coming at Lingfield, because I'd expect nothing less
yes,
from
exactly.
you.
Well, I don't want to disappoint you.
We'll start with the nap, so we can then do Cheltenham in a nutshell. The nap is in the 2:10 at Lingfield tomorrow.
Yeah.
Which is a handicap over a mile. There's 12 of them set to go to post. And... there's most of these that we know absolutely everything about.
Yeah.
But...
there's a few you don't.
Hmm.
It's an interesting race. Even the ones that you do know everything about, Forceful Appeal, for example, who loves it round here and has been prepped for another good season. Places, people like Gabriel.
Yeah.
Who's a bit of a so-and-so, but...
How is Gabriel only 8?
That is a very good point. I think in your head you're just thinking of all the Gabriels and assuming
possibly.
That. But he has been...
Gabriel should be, in my eyes, probably 12 or 13 by now.
It's his 72nd run, which is pretty good going, isn't it?
And they've all been at a fairly high level. He's normally pretty outclassed in very good races, or when there is an opportunity that he should win, he normally finds a way of... Just mucking it up a little bit.
So you know plenty, yeah. You know plenty about those types. Belgian Bill again is another one who spends his entire life travelling from one elaborate place to another to try and win. He finished second at Kempton last month. Before that, he was in Veli Effendi. That was his previous run. So he's a right old globe trotter. He's like one of those. He's like a golfer who's never quite top class, but I get to travel the world and every now and then.
Lovely lifestyle.
I get to take a big check home, literally. And the unexposed stats. We've just seen a race on Friday afternoon at
Jan Koller.
Good, like
that, that's niche, by the way.
That is very niche.
There's probably I'd say 50% of listeners are football fans, and within then there's probably 5% that would actually get that reference.
Very niche, and I appreciate it. Yeah. It's a great deal.
Sorry, listeners. Back to horses.
Very much my era. Utmost is the one for me though, for John Gosden and Rab Havlin. He was a winner on debut at Leicester. Back in the back end of last season, and then he ran in what was a bit of an odd little race at Newcastle. He was sent off favourite behind Forest Ranger and Sifax. Forest Ranger's now rated 110. Sifax on the back of that run was rated 110 in that, and has actually gone down to 98. So they've swapped places. But Utmost just kind of sits in between those two. He's been given a rating of 100. He's gone up £9 for that run in that conditions race. But he's bred to be decent on the all-weather, and a lot of these, as I said, aren't really getting their ideal conditions. He could go either way, let's be honest with this. He's one of those horses who you kind of think... we haven't seen much of him, so he's clearly quite fragile, But I put my faith in John Gosden, and I think he is the one in here that we could potentially have a lot to shout about in time.
Okay. Even form figure wise, I know this sounds silly, but if you look at it, you can almost picture it's currently a 1 and a 3. The next number will either be a 1 or a 0, quite feasibly.
Yes.
It's sort of all or nothing, isn't it?
Yeah, I think a little bit with him. He could go either way, yeah. Mm. You've got Sacred Act, who's a quirky customer, but has now been sold to Michael Bell, and Eagle Creek, who's unexposed and well-drawn. They're the biggest dangers, obviously, but Upmost could have a lot more in the locker.
That is the nap, then. The next best comes in, one of the Cheltenham races, the 1:15, which is a novice's chase over 3 miles. There's only the 3 runners here, but you could make a case for all 3. Ballyoptic was a pretty good winner last time out, a very good winner, in fact, at Exeter. Black Corton's been in a rich vein of form, gets on really well with Briony Frost, and West Approach is probably the least fancied of the 3, quite possibly. But then Thistlecrack won this last year. Connections know how to get one ready. It's an intriguing race.
I really like West Approach. I was really impressed with him. He'd be my pick. I thought he was very impressive the way he jumped at Foss Lass. He jumped left occasionally, which would be a slight concern. But I think he's just a very nice type. And he's bred to very much improve as a chaser. Of course, he is a half-brother to Thistlecrack, so they're going down exactly the same route with him. The slight concern is that he looked really good over hurdles and then lost his way a little bit. But I don't know. I think this track's going to be spot on for him. He ran an absolute cracker behind, you know what I mean, Harry, last season over hurdles here. He's got plenty of form around the course. He hasn't won here, but I think this track's going to suit him a little bit better than Ballyoptic, potentially, who has raced here a couple of times. It was only a place behind West Approach in that, you know what I mean, Harry race.
Yeah.
But, I don't know, there was just something visually about West Approach who I just really liked the way he jumped, and he didn't seem to be particularly extended. I know it was only a Foss Lass novice chase, and he didn't beat a great deal, and that in terms of RPRs and what level they ran to, Ballyoptic ran to a much higher level on his chasing debut at Exeter. But there was just something visually about West Approach, and I'd really like to see what he's got under the locker here.
Okay. As we're recording this, we don't have prices for that race, which is
a
bit of a pain because we don't know. It could be anything.
Ballyoptic could be favourite.
Yeah.
So he'll be second favourite, I imagine.
Okay. West Approach, then, in the 1:15 at Cheltenham, the next best for Ross. Now, we could talk in great depth about most of the Cheltenham races, but we're not going to. We're going to just have a look at the feature one, if you like, the one that people have been looking forward to for a while, the 225, which is the BetVictor Gold Cup Handicap Chase, a grade 3 over 2.5 miles. There's 18 of them set to go to post.
It's an absolute smasher, isn't it?
It
well,
is.
Well, you're disappointed by it, but I think
I'm
it's
not
a
disappointed by it. I'm saying I've seen higher quality renewals of it.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
I'm not disappointed by it because it is still pretty open. And the fact that maybe it isn't as potentially as strong as it has been in recent years sort of maybe helps you bet in it, or it does for me anyway.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. Yeah, I take that point. Last year there was quite a few horses rated around the 154, 155 mark. This year you've got Calmore Lock and then a lot sort of £5 or £6 below him.
So as we speak, Calmore Lock is the favourite 6-1, 7-1 Tully East, Starkitek 8, 9-1 La Presienne and Foxtail Hill, 10s for Roman de Senem and Bally Alton, and 14s and bigger the rest. What catches your eye in this then?
Foxtail Hill for me. I like horses. That's it. That's just the end of that. I was really impressed with the way he went about it last time out. He is a bold jumping front runner who essentially has one way of getting into the swing of things. But he does tend to be better on the new course. And then last time out, he got into a right old rhythm on the old course and battle of all comers. We've already had a winner from that this afternoon in Do It for the Village. There's not that much pace on in this race either, and the fact that he's in such good form and the fact that the horses up against him aren't necessarily of the quality that you would normally expect, I thought Foxtail Hill could maybe nick it from the front. That would be my hope with him. Carmel Lock is the class act in the race. Tully's got plenty of track form and ran well on his seasonal reappearance over hurdles over an adequate 2 miles. The Prezien's obviously got plenty of form around here, but he's a bit of a head case. Bally Alton is one of those frustrating customers who you know has a big race in him, but just can't seem to stay fit to long enough to get a rhythm going. But again, he ran well over hurdles on his reappearance. Double Treasure's in great form. It's a very tough race, but I think Foxtail Hill out there in front will be tough to pass.
Am I allowed a selection?
Of course you can. It's your podcast, my good man.
Thanks. I think Aqua Dude each way.
Right.
And it's sort of a long-term, I want to call it a love affair, but he's not ever done anything that's actually helped me.
So why do you like him then?
There's something in him, eventually.
Right.
I think maybe this time next year, he could win this race.
Right.
But I couldn't let him go off at the, I think he's 18-1 at the minute. Yeah, I think he was as big as 25s this morning, so maybe a little bit of money coming.
I mean, he is an Ever Williams chaser in those, in these kind of handicap chases as well, which he's a buy-wise, isn't he, in terms
yeah.
of like...
Yeah, you might be playing for fourth.
Yeah.
But I don't know, I just think there's something about him. I was quite impressed with him at Utoxeter last time. It was quite a gritty win.
Okay.
At the price, it's more just... It's less I really fancy this. It's more, if this won and I didn't back it, I'd
be
seething.
Livid. All right, mate. Well, good luck with that.
Thanks. But it is one of those races, isn't it, that it is hard to rule a few of them out. And you mentioned Tully East as well. That is one horse that I think this is more... I think this is much more difficult than anything that we've seen so far from Tully East. Even winning at the festival last year. When you look at the calibre of horses in that compared to this...
But he's only just stopped... You know, he's only just out of his novice... year, so there's a lot more to, there's a lot of time on his side, isn't there? So, and he's got plenty of course form, which again is going to help.
Yeah. Okay then. Can you just sum up your best bets then for Saturday on what is a wonderful Saturday of sporting and equine action?
Upmost in the 210 for me. West Approach in the 115, and Foxtail Hill will hopefully win the Bet Victor Gold Cup.
Good stuff. Thank you, Ross Briley.
Thank you, Alex Dunn.
Thank you. As we're recording this, by the way, we're watching action at Cheltenham live.
We are. Kustar Sivila in front, currently.
Well, this is interesting because we never do a... If you listen to William Hill Racing Radio, you hear the commentary.
Yeah.
But you don't hear the analysis. So, should we do this live? They're freewheeling down the hill at Cheltenham in the 225. Well, and Finian's Oscar is a looming presence on the outside of Kustar Sivila. Finian's Oscar, who could be anything.
Well, I've had a little bet on Kustar Sivila, so let's see how this works out from now. He's probably going to fade and get passed by Finney's Oscar. This race is invariably won by three-mile chasers who are making light work of horses who don't quite stay that trip over 2.5 miles, and it looks like Finney's Oscar is going to do the same thing.
So he's sidled alongside. He's now gone past as they begin the turn for home. Looking at previous winners of the race as well, Takan Desai, Dinast, Grand Cru, Champagne West... More of that. It doesn't go to bad ones, does it?
No, it goes to top class 3 milers, essentially. Yeah. Finian's Oscar in front of him. Move with the Times, though, is throwing down a challenge.
Yeah. And all of a sudden, Move with the Times has gone to the front as they come down to the last.
Oh, that's
a massive leap.
That is a massive leap. But is Finian's going to outstay him? That's the question. But he's coming back for more.
So long to go.
The class of Finian's Oscar is going to win the day.
It has.
Eventually. But yeah, he was just, again, he's a 3 miler, so he was just tap for toe a little bit. It was a good little ride on Move with the Times to try and catch him by surprise. But the stamina of Finian's Oscar has come to the fore, and he will invariably make his impact over 3 miles over fences this year, I think.
Live in-running commentary on the William Hill Racing Podcast.
There you go.
It might be a thing. Who knows? Might have just stumbled on something there. I don't think we have.
I doubt it.
No. Anyway, cheers, Ross.
I enjoyed it, though.
Thanks. See you later.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.